Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks. Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Tour set.
So you and I used to be really diligent gym buddies and would always keep each other accountable with like our eating habits and working out regularly.
Yeah. Going to the gym together.
Yeah. It was literally the best. And we haven't been able to do that in a long time, obviously. But recently we started motivating each other again to work out and to eat better.
Yeah, we just text each other all day long and we'll send pictures of like what we're eating and what we did to work out. But you'd be really proud of me today, my coworkers. And so I just started this new job. So like any sort of social interaction with them, I want to have, you know, because just to, you know, build a relationship with them.
Right.
And they were all going out to eat for lunch and they were like, hey, you want to come out to lunch with us? And I'm thinking, oh, no, like, probably isn't going to have many healthy options, whatever. But I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And I went and I got a salad with like dressing on the side and everything. And so I was really proud of myself because it was like a home cooking kind of restaurant. So I could have easily gotten like a sandwich or something like that. But I made healthy options.
That's awesome. That's so great.
I mean, it's so freaking.
No, I mean, that's like, awesome. I'm proud of you for doing that. It's hard to do. Yeah. It's hard.
It is
like,
hard to
I've
do.
Been, I basically like cut out all carbs. And so, I mean, like, I'll have like, there's a couple fruits that I'll eat. And like, some carbs are just like in things, but like, I'm not eating any breads or like having any dessert, which is like
so hard.
Dessert is like my, like, I, for me to feel like a day is finished almost, I feel like I need to have like my little dessert, my like sweet treat at the end of the day. And so I haven't been doing that. Anyways,
I'm the same way. It's hard. Cutting out carbs is really hard, but I've heard people get good results from it. So
yeah. So that's what we're doing.
We've been doing that. Yeah. So proud of us.
It's been fun. It's been fun to motivate each other.
It has.
Yeah. So on a healthy note of beginning the episode, welcome back, guys.
Yeah, welcome back.
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, who else is really far behind in Run BTS? Because for some reason, I cannot keep up.
I am on the same page as you. I cannot keep up with Run BTS. I think I mostly just end up watching like clips that people post on Twitter or on Instagram or whatever. And so I see like the really funny, cute moments and I keep thinking, oh my gosh, this episode looks so fun. I should watch it. And then I'm like, I've just gotten so far behind.
I'm like almost the opposite, where I see clips on Twitter or Instagram and I'm like, oh no, like I don't want to watch it. I don't want to spoil watching the episode.
Really?
And then I don't watch the episode. Like I just like get too busy and forget to do it. So I'm so far behind.
Yeah. Me too. Or I seriously cannot stop watching Taeyang's new VCR.
Oh my God. No, literally.
The whole, I thought the first one was fucking phenomenal, but this one's even better. Ugh. I just can't deal with Taeyang. He's just too sexy.
You've literally watched it probably 5 times just when you and I have been FaceTiming in the past couple days.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
At least. So if you're down for all of that, then you're in the right place. Since the Speak Yourself tour has come to an end, today we're wrapping up and reflecting over the Love Yourself era. We're also going to theorize about BTS's next comeback. But before we get into it, we want to thank you wonderful, amazing armies for being here and for supporting us. If you're a fan of this podcast and you want to show your support for us, you can do that by telling people about us on social media and by writing a review wherever you listen. Then, if you want to go above and beyond and show us some extra support, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingBTS.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingBTSpodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support you guys have to offer is super appreciated. Mm-hmm. We just are so glad you're here listening. But do remember that our show notes are now being posted on Patreon for patrons of $1 a month or more. And of course, for patrons of $5, $10, and $15 a month, you guys have access to behind-the-scenes footage of our research, reactions to videos, and personalized messages.
Yeah, so thank you guys for being our patrons, and thanks for being here today. Mm-hmm. Let's get into our content of the week. This week, my content of the week is the 2019 Festa Family Portrait Shooting number 2. Mm-hmm. This video is basically just behind the scenes of that photo shoot, and we get to see kind of little moments of every member, and then we also see the ending where they're all taking group photos, which are amazing. Mm-hmm. And just if you haven't seen it yet, would highly recommend
watching.
It's a great
Bangtan TV video that they've got on there. Yeah, you guys should check it out. My content of the week is BTS Season's Greetings 2020.
Yes.
This one, they're all in just such cute, colorful, vibrant colors in these outfits, and I don't know. There's like a bunch of like Namjoon too, of just like them next to each other. And it's just the whole thing is really, really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Which I might end up getting the season's greetings. I have one of them. I don't know which one I have, but I have one of them.
I know you have one. And then this one I've kind of been thinking about wanting to get also, but it's like, it's so expensive.
It's so expensive
with the shipping too. It's a lot.
Yeah. So. I got like a hand fan with mine.
Damn.
You know, like one of those like nice ones that, you know, you have to put a battery in it, but
that's cool.
It was nice. I wasn't expecting that. And like the actual photo shoots that they take and stuff, you get like this beautiful book just full of a bunch of pictures of them. So it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth the money.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So just an overview of this episode. We're first going to talk about the Speak Yourself concert, the last Speak Yourself concerts, just some of their, what they said in their mints, especially Namjoon's. And then we'll talk about our overall just thoughts of the Love Yourself concept and what it's taught us, what it's done for us, kind of the biggest takeaways. And then we're going to end with talking about theories or like hints that have been given to us for the next comeback, which we think these are hints. They might not be hints, but it'll be fun to just kind of theorize because there's a lot of theories out there right now.
Yeah. And really, I'm just going to say this. I think that's going to be the majority of this episode because there's a lot. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to do it.
That's the biggest chunk of this episode for sure.
Yeah.
So for the last Speak Yourself concerts in Seoul. They were October 26th, 27th, and 29th. We just kind of want to give you an overview of what the members said for their final mints, but then we'll also just like read Namjoon's because we found that to be the most impactful. Like, he got teary-eyed on us. It was so, like, my heart breaks. But
yeah,
overall, the members just kind of said that this was just an experience of a lifetime. Like, they're really going to miss doing the show. Just reflecting on, like, their solo songs, and, like, that might be one of the last times they perform it for a while or ever. You know, they were just talking about their love for ARMY and just how, like, many happy and fun memories that they've had through, like, doing this concert all around the world. Basically, like, two, you know, worldwide concerts is what they did during the Love Yourself concept. Yeah. Yeah. But it was all really sweet. They, of course, are just so grateful and loving towards ARMY. But they kind of said, like, we'll see you again. We'll come back, you know.
So this is what Namjoon said, and I'm just going to read his whole final ment. And like you said, it was really impactful for us, and it was the last one. Like, this is the last one of the last concert. So
yeah.
He said, "Let's give a round of applause for BTS and ARMY, who have endured together for 2.5 years with the message of loving ourselves. You've endured a lot. If I think about it, it's the last verse of reflection from 2016. I've thought about it ever since this verse. I wish I could love myself. Love myself. What in the world is loving myself? And so I thought, since I don't know either, wouldn't we search for it together? Don't you want to? This is how the journey began. And I wondered whether many people could do it together with us, because it was a plan that would come after HYYH, a huge plan that received lots of good feedback. Now, when I am asked, do you love yourself? I still do not know, but I have a feeling that I will be able to. And so, while this concept of love yourself, speak yourself ends here, our journeys of continuously searching for the way and the path to loving ourselves doesn't end here. So moving forward, I would like it if we could continue to hold hands and be together as we learn to love ourselves. All right? Once this love yourself era of many hours and many happenings ends, I would like it if Kim Namjoon could be Kim Namjoon, if BTS could be BTS, and if each and every name's someone, Kim, Park, Lee, could be yourselves too, under the name of ARMY. Please know this. Thanks to all of you, I have been able to live up to this point. Believe me." And then he began to tear up.
This one and he starts said, to tear up, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, "Moving forward, I hope that even just one of our words, just one of our lyrics could be a help for you to love yourselves. Moving forward, no matter what appearance we come back with, let's be together. I think I'll be sad or disappointed that I can't do this 2018 Love Yourself, Speak Yourself tour anymore in the future. It would be good if there was a better word than love, but I really, truly, I love you. Please know that." And that was the end.
Ah, so heartfelt. Man. I can't believe that it's that 2.5 years that BTS has been delivering this message of loving ourselves. 2.5 years. That's so long. So to be wrapping it all up the last 2.5 years at this concert with this ending meant, I can't. I mean, no wonder Namjoon got emotional about it.
Yeah, like, it's such a final moment to such a big thing, you know, and so much time, so many different experiences, like he talked about, and it's all culminating at this, like, this last time that he's talking to ARMY on the whole tour. It's just beautiful, and it's definitely a good way to wrap it up from BTS. Yeah.
And just thinking about Namjoon, I'm sure he's thought and reflected a lot. I'm sure all the BTS members have, but really Namjoon, I'm sure, has reflected on these past 2.5 years. And it's not just the Love Yourself concept and like the tours and everything. There's just a lot that's happened in the last 2 years. They have accomplished so much. They've grown and done more than I think they ever imagined when they first really started. You know, they've come just even farther than, you know, just, I think all of us are kind of blown away with their success.
Yeah, completely.
So some of the things that, you know, have happened over the last 2 years has included speaking at the United Nations to me, and I think to them too. That is just one of their largest accomplishments. What a honor to be able to speak at the United Nations. Like, mm-hmm. not many people do that. And it was because of their, you know, Love Yourself, Speak Yourself campaign. They also sold out 2 world tours, which is insane. And then they also got invited to attend the Grammys, and they were nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah.
A fucking Grammy.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. Just, mm-hmm. they've done so much that we mm-hmm. just, we could not have even fathomed that this is mm-hmm. where they would be at the end of this. Mm-hmm. We do want to talk about, what has this concept done for us, or what has this concept really taught us? Like, for you, mm-hmm. I want to know what would be like your biggest takeaway from this whole concept, or from this whole tour.
For the whole Love Yourself concept.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, I think it's the music that has just inspired me. I think about Love Yourself Her. I think about Love Yourself Tear and Answer. Mm-hmm. Just that transition from Her into Tear into Answer. Especially the song Love Yourself Answer. That's what I really, what I go to when I think of this concept. Mm-hmm. I feel relief. And, you know, I just feel like even on days where I feel I can't love myself, like it's still okay, you know, that it doesn't have to be something that you accept and you know and love yourself every single day. You know, it's that it's still an ongoing process, and that it's going to take, it can take a lifetime to really, truly, fully love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, mm-hmm. when I was thinking about, for me, the biggest thing that I always remember and go back to is I think about the lyrics from these mm-hmm. amazing songs, and I think about what they meant to me when we were mm-hmm. doing album reviews and just like examining them that way and really feeling how they were feeling, and then how amazing the music like blended with these lyrics, and like mm-hmm. how, you know, just how deep everything was, and how mm-hmm. yeah, how amazing, how great the music is, just like you said. My biggest takeaway was really like from those lyrics that we don't have to have it all figured out. We also mm-hmm. don't have to make it to a certain point in our lives, like mm-hmm. a certain level of accomplishment in our lives to allow ourselves to love ourselves. We could do it now. But it's also okay that you don't know how to, or if you don't know how to, or if you do sometimes and then other times you don't. Like, it's just, but you
some
can
days
find
come easier than others. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's kind of just like about finding your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. I'm sad that it's coming to an end, but it makes me so excited for what's to come. Because I do think that the Love Yourself concept was just so great for armies all around the world. It's such a motivating, kind of comforting concept. Yeah. But this, you know, with the upcoming comebacks and with Map of the Soul, I'm very interested to look into like identity. And, you know, it's not just about loving yourself, but like knowing yourself and really just looking at, you know, your traits and your personality and those parts that maybe you aren't too forward, that are bigger question marks, like that darker side of yourself. So, so excited.
The parts
for
of
it.
Yourself that you, that, yeah, that you don't like. Yeah. Or,
and
yeah.
I love this like psychological, you know, perspective that they're approaching it, you know, how they're mm-hmm. approaching the music that's coming up. So thank you, Namjoon. Anyways,
we like I'm haven't even gotten Namjoon. Into that or explained it at all yet.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and get into the theories for the next comeback, because mm-hmm. this has been so fun to research, and it's been, you know, just theories are fun in general. Half of them or more of them won't mean anything. you know, or mean something completely different than we expected. But, you know, this is a part of the fandom to theorize what's to come. And definitely Big Hit and BTS like to drop little hints for us and mm-hmm. make it fun. It's a little puzzle piece that we like to put together.
Yeah. And I have to say, even though every time we do a theories episode, anything, stuff happens and it's actually like all wrong. But
yeah,
I have to say that my confidence level of these theories is pretty high. Because
is it really? You were so sketch during research and you were kind of bumming me out. I was like,
oh my God,
Kayla's not as immersed in it as I am.
This is my confidence level is high because when we are researching, I'm really hypercritical and yeah. I want to make sure that if we're going to talk about it, like, because mm-hmm. we've been burned so many times, I don't want to be so wrong, you know? Yeah. But so many of yeah. these theories are really perpetuated on so many different social media platforms right now. And a lot of them are mm-hmm. really well explained and make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go ahead and start with the theories about the possible date for comeback. So it's been theorized that January 24th, 2020 will be the date of their comeback, their next comeback. And this one, I think I might agree with this one. It seems right. So
yeah.
during Yoongi's Seesaw performance at their last concerts in Seoul for the Speak Yourself tour, in the background, there was a number 24 that was like on a sign in the background. So that's the first and kind of really only place we see 24. But in the ARMY's posters at the concert, at the bottom of the poster, it said 01-2020. So January 2020, and we're seeing this number 24. And of course, ARMY put two and two together. They're like January 24th, 2020. Mm-hmm. That's when they're coming back. They're totally telling us when they're coming back in these really subtle hints that they're giving us, of course. But something that's really exciting about this date is that the Grammys are January 26th.
Yes.
So 2 days later.
Yeah.
And so that's got ARMY's talking for sure. Because mm-hmm. now we think that they might be at the Grammys. They could potentially perform at the Grammys. I've seen like controversy on that, whether or not they actually could. But it's exciting to think about.
It is exciting to think about. And it like that the fact that it's this possible comeback date is so close to the Grammys is, I think, why we think it's so plausible, because there was like a lot of things out in like the world that made people think that they were coming back in October or, you know, before the end of this year. And for them to come back, and it's been such a long time since there's been a comeback, it kind of makes sense that it would be then. So that way they could attend the Grammys right after dropping an album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So speaking of the album, let's talk about what we think possible titles of the album could be. So really the only ideas we have are Shadow or Ego. And I personally am leaning more towards Shadow being the next one.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And I think a lot of people are kind of thinking Shadow is going to be the next one because of some of the other theories that we'll get to later on. But mostly when you watch Namjoon's intro, the chalkboard behind him says Persona, Shadow, Ego. So we already got Persona and Shadow follows right after. So some might think just, you know, going in that order, that's the order that they're going to come out. But we don't know.
Mm-hmm. We don't know. But really, like, this is another one of those examples where this could be nothing, or it could that it could be them literally spelling out the entire, you know, three albums in the era right there in the first intro. Yeah. So
it could be.
It could be. We think that some possible track names might be something like with Dream, just because that's one of the words also written on the chalkboard, and it's kind of a theme mm-hmm. that comes up later. So that just yeah. might be a possibility.
Yeah, but we really don't know. That mm. one we're like, not sure, but there's a solid, there's, you know, some stuff out there that would assure us that Shadow is probably the one that's coming out next.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting into more theories and hints to the next comeback, we have to talk about the new VCRs that they did at the Speak Yourself concerts in Seoul. So really, these Speak Yourself concerts in Seoul hinted at a lot, at least what mm-hmm. we think hinted at a lot. So it is kind of unexpected that they had entirely new VCRs for just these last three concerts. And when you watch them, you can't help but to think that there's these common themes within all of them. Why is this happening? You know, very particular things that were like, holy shit, HYH, yeah. you there.
Yeah, this is something. Yeah.
Something for sure. So we'll go ahead and start with J-Hope and Jungkook's VCR. So the setting, Hobi, he's riding a bike around downtown and he comes to a building that has a bench in front of it. And Jungkook is in this very tan bedroom. That's all I can describe it as. It's just like, you know, all of it's very simplistic, simple mm-hmm. so that you understand, but nothing too drastic. So it's this like tan bedroom and he looks just absolutely gorgeous and aesthetic inside of it. But there's this large window that's inside the bedroom. So some of the things that happen between them, some interactions and some theories, they both look like they're waiting for something or someone. So like Hobi goes to the door of this building and he kind of knocks on it, listens to see if anyone's inside. Mm-hmm. He keeps shifting positions. He doodles like on the ground. He plays with the pedals on his bike. He just looks like he's waiting. And Jungkook also looks like he's waiting. He writes and journals and reads a little bit out of his journal. He yawns and kind of naps, like he's just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They both seem kind of like bored almost, right. like they don't know what to do. But then later on, Jungkook turns on the lamp inside his bedroom, like this night lamp. He turns it on and off, and then it goes to Hoseok, and you can see the street lamp turning on and off next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there's like a connection and Jungkook is smiling. Like he knows that he's doing this to Hoseok.
He's like playing
and they're
with
looking
him.
At it. Yeah, exactly. It's so cute. Some other kind of themes that go on. They both play with shadows on the wall and they make these, I don't know, like birds or butterflies or wings with their hands
mm-hmm.
To make these shadows on the wall. So some people think it's referencing to Shadow, the possible next album. Some people think it's referring back to Wings era, like the Sparrowhawk.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't know, but those are both plausible. Jungkook also has this wristwatch and he takes it out. He puts it under his blanket and he kind of covers the blanket up. You know, he just presses it down firmly. And then Hobi goes in and reaches in his pant pocket and pulls out a watch. And so I don't know if it's like
seems
time
related.
Travel, if they yeah. can just like, I don't know what's going on, but you know, that kind of interaction is just interesting. And of course it's made a lot of armies question what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, Jungkook takes a piece of paper out of his journal. And there's also this light that like pans over them. So it's like almost like they went back in time. I don't really know. But he takes out this piece of paper. He makes a paper airplane. He throws it. And then the paper airplane flies to Hobi. Some people think that this reference all the way back to Spring Day when Hobie's like sitting on top of the train playing with a mm-hmm. paper airplane. We don't know. But there's a lot of shit going on in these VCRs.
Like a lot. It's interesting, like the hand, like the shadow that could be wings, like if that's referencing mm-hmm. back to the Wings era, and then this mm-hmm. paper airplane referencing back to Spring Day. Like that's just, it's mm-hmm. just so interesting to think that these theories may not be pointing us what to what's ahead, but they may just kind of be like reflecting on what was in the past. Yeah, at the same
time. That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for Namjoon and Jimin's VCR, for the setting, they're both in an apartment, but Namjoon, his apartment is very clean and bare and white. There's a tree growing next to a wall and some of the ceiling is like opened up to give it light. And there's kind of like sand and little bushes kind of all around the tree. Jimin, in his apartment looks abandoned, as if someone had once had a life there, but they're no longer there. The apartment is very, to me, very reminiscent of the one that we saw in Serendipity when he's like sitting on the couch and in front of the window. But it's more so as if it has aged at this point. So both in
different
like
different
point in time. Right. It's like two different settings, but they're similar. So some things of importance or theories, whatever. So Jimin sees a clock on the wall that's set to 4:32, and then Namjoon picks up an hourglass that's full of sand. So this makes me think like this next album is gonna have like theories of like time travel and sand and you know, like the sands of time
for sure.
Like definitely. And then Jimin seems to be like reflecting over what was before, and he's like about to leap into the next thing. And Namjoon seems like he's watching him, like waiting to see what he'll do next. And it seems almost as if Namjoon is affecting Jimin in some way, just like Jungkook kind of affected Hoseok. As if Namjoon is like studying him. There's been talk about Namjoon representing some sort of godlike figure in this way.
It like, really does look like Namjoon is affecting Jimin, or Namjoon is giving Jimin the capability to dance and to, you know, be happy.
It's like, yes, so he's like staring into this small crystal ball that he's holding, and when he holds it up to the light to look through it, some light shines onto Jimin's face, like in a, even like in a kind of curved shape. And then there's also a little clip where Namjoon's hands are forming the shape of wings, or like the bird or the butterfly. And at the same time, Jimin breaks out into a contemporary dance that like really conveys feelings of breaking free and release and moving on, which totally goes along with the idea of like wings or like a bird. And yeah, I mean, kind of like you said, like giving him happiness, like dancing, like the dancing does not look like he's like struggling. Like it's not like the tormented dance that we saw from like Hoseok in
Boy Meets Evil.
Boy Meets Evil. It's not like what we saw in Boy Meets Evil, but it's just, it's freeing a little bit. It's beautiful.
It is.
And then the last thing that to me really made me feel like maybe Namjoon is in this like really controlling position over like affecting Jimin. He moves his hand and his arm as if he's going to like spin a globe like towards the camera, from the camera's point of view, as if the camera were a globe. But when this happens, it cuts to Jimin like spinning and stumbling out of the room that he's dancing in. And then he like regroups himself and goes back into the room and continues his dance. And I just thought like, it's clearly showing a connection between like both of them. So
it's like Jimin's world is in Namjoon's hands. It's interesting.
Oh my God.
It's very interesting and it's so pleasing to watch. And I remember that like little crystal ball, whenever Namjoon looks through it and then you see just that beautiful shot of Jimin, I'm like, imagine if that's what he actually fucking saw when he looked through it. Like Jimin just looked so stunning and beautiful. I think I said that to you. I was like, oh, fucking imagine seeing that.
I know.
Okay. So the next VCR is Taeyong's, and holy crap, guys. So the setting, it's in this like empty concrete room. There's small puddles of water on the floor. And then there's this single hanging light bulb from the ceiling. And it's just a single light bulb on a string hanging down. And you can kind of hear this like echoing of voices or singing. It's very haunting. It's very chilling. The room kind of gives off like the same feels of some of the rooms that you see in Singularity, some of that like dark room in Fake Love that Taeyong looks like he's captured in, which just goes to show like how much thought they put into all these concepts, if these things are connected or correlated. But yeah, super like creepy, chilling kind of vibes. So some say that the empty room that Taeyong is trapped in, that it's kind of foreshadowing Shadow, and this being unable to escape or feeling trapped, same kind of feel of like the Fake Love room that we see. But the things that happen in this, there's so many theories. There's so much like shit that goes on. It's just crazy. I love it. But so Taeyong, that light bulb that is hanging, he's kind of looking at it and he just grabs it and then pushes it out away from him. And so it swings back and forth. It's just such an aesthetic shot too, how it's like lighting up his face as it goes by. But it maybe could symbolize the pendulum of a grandfather clock, because time seems to be such a prominent theme within all these VCRs. Definitely something that my mind went to when I watched it. Something I also noticed that I just want to mention, because I didn't see many theories on it, but before Taeyong goes to touch the light bulb, he like whispers something, or he says something, he mouths something with his mouth. But he goes out, he reaches for the light bulb and taps it with a single finger, and the light bulb just explodes and like ignites on fire. And the whole thing from here just gets kind of trippy. There's like lights flickering all around him. He's like moving. He looks like he's being possessed or tortured. He starts running like different directions, like he's trying to escape or get away from something. And then after that whole little like flashing light section, there's this red light that floods the whole room, this bright red light. And Taeyong, as this like red light starts to kind of fade away, you see him standing in front of this open lit doorway, like it's an exit or something. So it's like he was just being like tortured. Now there's this exit. But before that, there was all this red. So like later on, we're going to get really into this red theory, because there's a lot on it. I think this red lighting was not a mistake.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah, like it wasn't just accidental. Like they put it there for a reason. So, and then going back to time travel again, after that shot kind of shows, you see a time lapse of that shattering light bulb going back into its form. And we find Taeyong on the floor, like sitting on the ground where he was at the beginning of the video. So time travel, I don't know. I'm so done with time travel. I really hope it's not a thing again, but it seems like it.
But it's just like, I mean, it has to be, right? Like, doesn't it really seem like it is? So Jin and Yoongi, their VCR, the setting has some techno music playing in the background. Like when we first watched this, we were like, whoa, like this music is super trippy. And it looks like
the whole shot is bizarre. The whole VCR is bizarre.
It looks like they're floating in the sky, and then there are several clocks floating around them. So, I mean, there's like some techno music theories out there. We're like, what the fuck is with the sky? Like, why are they, why are those two floating around in the sky? And then we're wondering time again, like literally clocks floating around them. So,
And there's really not much that happens during the video. There is a shot where Jin like reaches out towards us, towards the camera, and he's going, it looks like it's in slow motion, and he doesn't say anything, but his expression to me and like the reaching hand looks like, don't go, or like, don't do whatever, but like, he looks like he's frozen and can't like do anything about it. And then Yoongi also reaches out to his side right after Jin does that, but it's not towards the camera. And he also like smiles a little when he does it. So I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Don't know how to feel about it.
At the very end, this is just, I'm just mentioning this, the sky fades away and we think that they're like floating and shit. But then we just see Yoongi standing in this room and he like coolly walks off screen and he just walks away and that's the end of it.
Which is just like, I mean, it's the best way to end it.
Yeah.
So we're also going to talk about some theories related to outfit changes that happened during the individual performances at the last mm-hmm. Speak Yourself concerts. These could be clues to the next concept, but we're fully aware that some of them could just be special costume changes for the last concert.
Yeah, yeah.
So for Serendipity, Jimin had an all black outfit and then he had like silver hair and really glittery makeup. He even had mm-hmm. like two like sparkly rhinestones underneath his eye in the middle. And that yeah. was just like my favorite part, because when he looked up at the camera, like his eyes sparkled so much. It was, I mean, mm-hmm. just beautiful, ethereal, amazing.
That silver hair, I love it.
Yeah, the best. Also, people could not stop talking about Yoongi wearing that yellow sweater that was hanging off of his shoulder. Mm-hmm. We're not sure if it's connected to anything, except that he was also wearing a yellow sweater in the VCR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no idea if that means anything, but maybe.
Yeah.
Singularity. Taeyang is wearing a black feathered coat. And so this had a lot of people talking that this is either referencing back to Wings, like Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Is this like the fallen angel, the Sparrowhawk, or is it just, you know, maybe symbolizing what's to come with Shadow potentially? There's just mm-hmm. so many, many things we don't know, but there's a possibility. I loved that coat on him. He looked stunning.
Yeah.
Namjoon, for Love, he wore like a white t-shirt with some blue jeans and a duster length jean jacket. Again, we don't really know. This could maybe hint at, you know, some of the fashion that's to come in the future, but not too sure, but he looked great. Mm-hmm. And then Euphoria, same thing with Jungkook. We don't really know, but his outfit change, he used to have like a pink jacket during Euphoria, but during the performances in Seoul, he wore an all white outfit.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted, I know that we moved past Taeyang, but I think it'd be so interesting if, you know how in Wings, people thought from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, like if it's the good versus the evil, there was that whole theory about Taeyang like representing mm-hmm. the devil. And it'd mm-hmm. be interesting like if in this, yeah, in Sin, it'd be interesting if then this era, he's like representing like the dark side, the unconscious, shadow. The shadow.
Ah, yes. I love that. I love that theory. That is
so cool. Okay.
I say yes. Yes to that one. Big hit. Yes, if you haven't done it already, do that.
So for Epiphany, Jin, oh my God, I need a breather before talking about this yeah. because his full black hair was coiffed back to expose his entire forehead.
And the entire forehead. Like, oh, you said the entire.
And like, I mean, he just like, his hair was so beautiful and mm-hmm. his face stunning and the full fucking forehead. amazing. He was also
we linked his performance in the Google Doc because yeah. we both watched it together. Like for research, of course. Like all we needed to know was his outfit, but we watched the entire performance of Epiphany.
I mean, it was just it's topped the Awake Sydney performance. It was just so incredible.
That forehead. Yeah.
He was wearing a white suit jacket and he was standing in a rain box that was just like pouring rain around him. And that, of course, added such a beautiful special effect of that rain that is so tied with the song Epiphany. Mm-hmm. It was an incredible performance.
Mm-hmm. It was for sure.
So then Hobie for Just Dance, he had an outfit change. He was wearing a red suit, which I know that for some of these outfit changes, we've been like, oh, like maybe that doesn't really mean anything. But for this one, we're really like,
We think so.
This red suit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes along with the like the shirts and the jackets and the random articles of clothing that BTS has been wearing that say I am red on them or I'm red with love on them. And then Hobie during the last concert is wearing this red suit. So now there's this whole red theory about their next comeback.
Yeah, so we're going to get into the red theory because there are multiple places and multiple references to red.
So we have a couple threads on Twitter that we found that mention this red theory. So if you, you know, are on our Patreon, you can find those links. One of them is by at Tay Smug, and it just kind of shows a couple different pictures of BTS wearing I'm Red with Love on their articles of clothing, and then it also shows a screenshot from a Weverse comment that of course Hobie posted where he said I'm your red with a big red heart and red in all caps, and then people started relating this to him wearing that red suit. The other thread was from at My Mini Hope, and this kind of relates Hobie posting the I Am Red and Jin's red notebook that he had in the Love Yourself highlight reels. And possibly in Epiphany. I don't remember if that notebook was red or not.
And is it a notebook or is it a book? I don't know.
Is it a fucking book? Because
is it the actual book?
Because if this is the book, in this thread, people related the red and the red book to the red book, which is a book by Carl Jung, which we know, of course, is the person who wrote whose teachings compiled Map of the Soul Persona by Murray Stein. This would be a continuation of the theme of using philosophical ideas from Jung in this concept.
It's these Jungian, they're all Jungian theories, the persona, shadow, ego. It's all him. So when we found out that there is a book called The Red Book that is written by Carl Jung, and we're seeing all this like red here, red there, I am, you know, I'm red and I am red with love, like all of that. Especially Hobie's I'm Your Red. And red is like all in caps when he put it on Weverse and he put a red heart. The red suit, the freaking red that just floods Taeyong's freaking VCR.
Completely takes it over.
For sure.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what the book's about and what's written. So just to give you a description, we're going to use this description from Amazon because we found it to be really a great summary of what it's about. So The Red Book, the most influential unpublished work in the history of psychology. Carl Jung embarked on an extended self-exploration. He called his confrontation with the unconscious. The heart of it was the Red Book, a large illuminated volume he created between 1914 and 1930. Here he developed his principal theories of the archetypes, the collective unconscious, and the process of individuation that transformed psychotherapy from a practice concerned with treatment of the sick into a means of higher development of the personality. While Jung considered the Red Book to be his most important work, only a handful of people have ever seen it. Now in a complete facsimile and translation, it is available to scholars and the general public. It is an astonishing example of calligraphy and art on the part of the Book of Kells and the Illuminated Manuscripts of William Blake. This publication of the Red Book is a watershed that will cast new light on the making of modern psychology. So, long story short, there's a lot of theories and themes inside this Red Book that we think a lot of these themes are going to be put into shadow and ego, etc. So I think that this theory is spot on.
Yeah.
That the Red Book definitely has either inspired Namjoon or BTS members, or they just have, you know, gotten some lyrics or inspiration from it. So I'm excited to see what's to come.
What I think like the big standout from that is how influential the Red Book is in psychology and how it allowed people to start thinking about how do I better my personality within my life instead of just using psychology to treat illness. I think that's so cool. So for them to be diving into this is... I mean, it makes sense.
Looking more at the self.
Throughout research, I did actually find a PDF English translation of the Red Book that we have linked in the document. So if you want to check that out, you can. We also want to talk about some more themes of the Red Book and more information about the Red Book. So we did get this information from another page. This is from the Jung page. It's Reflections on Psychology, Culture, and Life. This was written by Matthew V. Spano. So he just had some really interesting things to say about the Red Book that we wanted to give you guys a little bit more info. So he says, throughout the Red Book, Jung continuously expounds on the importance of the process of individuation, and in just about every instance, immediately follows up with a warning. He implores readers again and again not to mimic him, not to follow blindly the journey he is undergoing in his own confrontation with the unconscious. The whole point of individuation, he emphasizes, is for one to follow one's own path. So this was really striking to me because I feel... as though in lyrics and in speeches like Namjoon has done in the past 2.5 years, I feel like it's kind of been preparing us for this kind of process. They've definitely said things to that effect of, you know, don't just follow us blindly. You have to find, you know, even with Love Yourself Answer, you have to find your own path to loving yourself. Them saying that they don't have all the answers. So I just think that this idea that the Red Book brings to the table definitely goes along with concepts that are in line with BTS and would make sense
with
as
what
like
they've
the
done
next
in the
step.
Past. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Especially individuation. Yeah, I agree completely. I love that he just is emphasizing that you can't follow someone else's footsteps. You can't follow behind them. You know, you have to, it has to be a journey that you go on your own and that it's going to be different from someone else's. You know, there's no cookie cutter format to go about it. There's no equation. Yeah. So in this article, they go on to say, Jung's own path begins with a feeling of being possessed by what he calls the spirit of the depths, the unconscious, as distinct from the spirit of the times. Holy shit, times. I hate that.
Fuck.
I didn't even notice that till just now as I'm reading
Fuck.
It.
Oh
but
my
the spirit
God.
Of the times is defined as the daily waking consciousness and routine, which is probably what Hobi and Jungkook's VCR is representing. Maybe it's representing the spirit of the times, the consciousness.
Fuck, it and totally is.
The spirit of the depths. Oh my God.
Okay. Oh my God. Oh
this
shit.
This is why I love theories. It's just fun.
Because this happens every time. Like, this is live realization on the podcast, not thought of before recording. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the assumption is that we live on the surface of our lives, unaware of the deeper impulses that have a major influence on so much in our daily lives, drawing parallels to the Old Testament prophets, whom he quotes to open up the Red Book. Jung feels similarly overwhelmed by a flood of visions and feels similarly compelled to record these as well as his understanding for them for his readers. Still, with the continual reminders not to follow his path blindly, Jung stresses that he's only like a prophet in these limited senses and that he is not himself a prophet, hero, or messiah figure. Indeed, imitation of such figures is questioned and undermined throughout the Red Book. So the reason we kind of bring this up is that there have been some references lately or theories revolving like Christianity or just religion in general. So I find it interesting that the Red Book opens up with a quote from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's something that's kind of, you know, that comes up, and BTS has been known to kind of like reference to some things like this, especially like good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
They really kind of hit it. They touched on it a little bit in the Wings era. So it might potentially come back. But really just that whole, the shadow, the conscious, the unconscious, discovering the shadow and discovering the unconscious.
Yeah. I also think just like the idea of not imitating figures that you want to follow is so mm-hmm. interesting, and such an interesting take for BTS, like this globally known and like most popular group, for them to say like, don't imitate us, don't follow us, you know, like you have to find your own way. It's exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
So we also have linked a list of major themes found in the Red Book, and we're just going to kind of talk through. There's a couple of them that really stick out to us with within the realm of things we've already talked about. One of the major themes in the Red Book is dreams. So that makes us mm-hmm. think like that's a possibility of a title track.
Title track, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Individuation, of course. We really think that's going to be a big central part to the learning process with this next mm-hmm. concept for BTS, is finding yourself and your personality and finding the shadow, the darker side of yourself, which is also another theme, is shadow.
I think there's going to be like a real dark and light contrast on the next album of like finding, like mm-hmm. connecting with the shadow of yourself, connecting with those parts of yourself that you don't know yet, so you can bring them to mm-hmm. consciousness, so that way you can like work on them. And that's mm-hmm. kind of, from what we can tell so far, a big idea of the Red Book. There's obviously things mentioned like ego, like the animus, other things that could possibly be the next mm-hmm. album. They talk about language and religion and epistemology, which I think is interesting. That's a study of, the Bible, which, mm-hmm. there's already, you know, like we're about to talk about like, Christian themes linked maybe possibly to like mm-hmm. this next concept.
Yeah. But one of the things I'm most excited for is the shadow and the unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we're definitely going to be getting into that. And that is, I think, a major theme that's going to be with the next album. I really hope because I'm like, is this gonna be like, it's not gonna be like Tear, obviously, but Tear was so fucking good, you know, and you know that darker undertone. I'm kind of hoping for it, that unconscious.
I'm on board.
Yeah, so just kind of like an overview of some of the themes and visuals that we kind of deduced from the VCRs as possible hints. So far we found time, butterfly, wings, red, the subconscious, unconscious, shadow, dark side, whatever you want to call it, individuation, finding oneself through the exploration of their own path, and then further exploration into the maps of our souls, which I think map of the soul is just such a general way to say, like, there's so many things to it. We really have to map it out, like the shadow and ego being part of it. Persona, animus, you know, all of it.
It's really like the way that you fill out a map is by exploring. And it's really like what these concepts are doing, are exploring these topics and making us think about these things and reflect upon these things in our own lives and with ourselves. So one of the biggest things that I feel like this whole episode has been building up to is this theory about 432.
We didn't forget about it.
We did not forget about it. All of the clocks in the new VCRs, in all of them, the time is set to 432. So people obviously picked up on this and people Googled 432. And now there's this whole theory around the 432 hertz frequency. So it's said that this frequency is the natural frequency of the universe and that it has cosmic healing powers to attract masses of audience to music. It's said that just by tuning music less than a semitone below the standard of 440 hertz, we are promised direct access to the universe's hidden treasures, which sounds like a bunch of shit to me, but you know, like they people make like 432 hertz music, and I even found some BTS songs that people had turned into 432 hertz. So they were kind of calming. People meditate to just like ambient music at this. Like, I'm not trying to like it's shit on calming. It, but it's calming.
That's all I can say. You know, it's very calming. It's pleasing to listen to. You're not, your emotion seems to not be drawn one way or the other. It's just kind of, it doesn't, it affects you in no other way that you can just be. You know, that's how I feel. That sounds so stupid, but you know, like it's just true. Being, you know, it's, you can listen to music and feel happy. You can listen to music and feel sad. This is just kind of indifferent. You know, some people think it's just like the natural sound of the universe or the sound of nature.
So, I mean, I love that. I don't think that explanation is stupid. It makes so much sense to me because when I was listening to it, just to kind of get an idea of what it's like and what it feels like, I did feel like I could just sit there and zone out to it for a really long time.
There's like an equilibrium with a kind of settle.
So this made me wonder, and I'm sure made others wonder, are they making a song at this frequency, which I think would be really fucking cool.
Or the whole album. Or the, that'd be interesting.
Oh my God, that would be crazy.
Just sit out the whole damn time. From start to finish.
Yeah, I want to share a tweet that I just thought was funny and kind of went along with this and that I thought you would love from Ardista on Twitter. And she said, I believe at least one member in this group is woke as fuck and channels messages. I thought they already made a 432 hertz, considering the effect that their song has, especially Epiphany. She says that she knows these types of frequencies because she meditates, and a famous song with 528 hertz is Lennon's Imagine, and 528 is also one of those, like, this is a cosmic healing universe meditation number thing.
So. I love that tweet. I love at least one member in this group is woke AF. Like,
And people were like, isn't BTS all of their music already at 432 hertz? Because it's like music for healing and, you know, like just kind of joking about it.
Big They're hit. Just, music for healing. That's funny.
Right.
Another theory for 432. I think the biggest theory is the frequency theory, but another one that I kind of liked and I had to put it in here, that it's a theory for their comeback date. So 432 4 times 3 times 2 equals 24. So people think January 24th, that's going to be their comeback date. I like this theory because to me, that little tiny 24 that we see during the Seesaw performance, I'm like, really? That's the only hint they put out there. And so I'm like, they had to have snuck it somewhere else, you know? And so I was kind of hoping that like the clocks that are all set to 432, you really have to have, you know, some different kind of thinking to think to multiply the numbers, but 4 times 3 times 2 is 24. So that's another theory.
I like that theory. I think that I think either one of these could be right, but not both of them.
Yeah. But the 432, the time set for all the clocks, I really don't know what that means. I feel like both of these could be just total bullshit.
Yeah. Either one of them's right or neither of them's right.
But neither. Yeah.
Both of them are not. Crown of Thorns.
Yeah. Crown of Thorns. This is the last theory that we have for you guys. This one just randomly blew up the other day after we had done research. I was like, shit, what the hell is this new theory that's going around about Crown of Thorns? So there were pictures posted by Qantas to the Next Level on Instagram. It was on their page and story. So they were of two custom crowns of thorns, a thorn bracelet and a thorn ring. And so I think they ended up removing it from their page or something. We're not too sure because we tried to go back and we couldn't find it, but we saw like screenshots of it on Twitter. Yeah. But we don't know. So assuming that BTS has bought jewelry from them before, we think that, you know, like Yoongi's lion necklace and Hoseok's bubble letter J necklace, they were displayed in recent posts. So we think like there's a strong possibility that they could have made these crowns of thorns and a thorn bracelet and a thorn ring custom made for BTS. So they're thinking it could be, you know, hints to the next era, to the next comeback, or someone said, or they're going to perform like a really rad version of Dionysus.
The problem with the Dionysus theory that like, oh, at a end of the year, award show, they're going to perform Dionysus with these like crown thorns. Dionysus had like a vine, a crown made out of vines is what people were like saying. So I don't know if that one pans out as much, but what's compelling about this is that yes, the posts were deleted off of Instagram. Like we went to look, and they weren't there, but obviously not before some of us got screenshots. So basically like our theory with the situation is that just thinking, oh, whenever I make jewelry for BTS, I always post it, you know, just to be like, look, I made this for BTS. And not knowing that it would be some sort of spoiler, they just posted pictures and posted on their story about it. And then as soon as they saw it, Big Hit made them take it down.
Take it down. Yeah. Because it was spoiling. Because it was spoiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, of course, this Crown of Thorns relates to kind of the idea of like the Old Testament themes in the Red Book, or the idea of like not following like a big, like a cult leader type of individual. And
I wonder if, you know, if BTS ever feels that way because they have such a large fan base now at this point.
I mean,
yeah. You know, if they're wanting to deliver a message of that too, of like, you know, I'm just like you, you know, to Corey makes jokes and we make jokes that we're in a cult because we follow them, that's, you know?
That's what I was going to say. Like we literally for so long have joked that like there are aspects of at least our experience with being an army that can be very cultish and like, I mean, not any of the negative things about like cults that you hear about, like not bad stuff, not things that like are bad for you or like are harming you, but like, a big hive mind, and that's kind of crazy that there's this like multinational hive mind presence on on every social media platform. But also just like you and I, our own like personal, like almost cult about BTS, of how into them we got together and like how obsessed we both are about them. And like, I literally have a decoration in my family room that I call the shrine, like for BTS. You know, I do think that they probably like know that some of us can think this way about them, jokingly or not. Mm-hmm. But I think it's it's an important message to get out for people, for an audience, just to to find that what I think is going to be such a big theme, that individuation.
Definitely. So. It wouldn't be out of the norm for BTS to do something like this too. I just now thought of like Eminem and his song Stan, that whole song, like that's the same kind of message too. Interesting. I am very excited for comeback. We will see if it actually happens on January 24th. I hope, if that is not the date, that they come back sooner than that.
Yes.
If it's later, oh my gosh, I'm going to struggle. I think that's when they're coming back, and I'm very excited. I'm really hoping that Shadow is their next album, and definitely some of the themes that we talked about today, I think, will come up in their music in the future.
Yeah, I think so too. If we're wrong about the date, I don't care. I hope they come back earlier than that possible date. But like on everything else, I feel like all of these are pretty solid theories that like I'm really excited for. I really feel like they will be influenced by the Red Book. I think it just makes sense. The last album was influenced by works and teachings of Carl Jung. It makes sense that further exploring that he would pull from the same philosopher.
Yes. And inspired by a book, Map of a Soul.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the next album to be, what if it's Red or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're going to keep going with Map of the Soul? Are they going to say Map of the Soul Shadow?
Map of the Soul Shadow.
So Ego?
Yeah.
I didn't know if maybe they changed the star to like Red. I don't know. That might be too far.
Yeah. I think that it would be Map of the Soul Shadow. That's my guess for what the next thing is going to be.
I wonder if the title track could be then, you know, I Am Red With Love, or Red With Love, or something like
Oh my God, because I was trying to think of something that was kind of like Boy With Love, but that wasn't Boy With Love. But I was like, would they do that? Would they have like similarly titled hit tracks? And hit I didn't tracks, know.
Yeah.
I didn't think that they would be that kitschy. I think that they would have had titles that were more different, but I was thinking, are they
a little bit more originality?
That would make sense too. I mean, like, I'm Red
possible.
With Love is possibility. Time travel and
all of it. All of butterflies, it. Wings,
wings.
They're H-O-H, all back.
Everything. Reread the webtoon. Like, damn. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, if you liked this episode, if you liked any of our previous episodes, there's a few things you can do to let us know. You can write us a review on iTunes or really wherever you listen. We love reading them. We love seeing when we get new reviews. You guys are so, so sweet. And they just really make our day when we get to read a new review. You can also reach out to us. We love to hear your feedback. Tell us what you think their next concept.
What are your theories? What do you believe?
Please tell us. You can let us know, contact us, tweet at us, or DM us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And you can also email us. And of course, find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, How do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.